Welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel Network Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. Wisdom is understanding God's Word. Pastor Murray's unique teaching approach brings God's Word alive with meaning as he takes you on a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study of God's letter to you, the Bible. And now here is Pastor Arnold Murray.
Good day to you. God bless you. Say, welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study. Are you ready to get back in our Father's Word? Great book of Jeremiah. What does Jeremiah mean in the Hebrew tongue? It means he whom God launches forth. Realize God chose him before he ever entered his mother's womb, meaning while he was yet with God, as we all were before we entered our mother's wombs. And you can read that in the first three verses of this great book. He chose him. And then while he was in his mother's womb, he chose him as a prophet. We'll make you a prophet. And Jeremiah was one of the best. As Isaiah was concerning the captivity of the ten tribes, so Jeremiah is the house of Judah, which we always keep separate. But he's warning about not only historically what's about to happen, that the king of Babylon is coming, but in the futurist sense. That is to say, prophetically speaking, he's talking about the king of Babylon in these end times, which is the false Christ. And he's making it very clear, not maybe, not perhaps, but he shall come before the true Messiah returns. You want to be very careful. You're beginning to hear talk among nations, certain nations, that their Messiah is going to come before long. Those are strange signs, but keep your eyes open, keep your ears open. It's interesting. And we had just closed in this eighth chapter concerning the snorting of horses was heard in Dan. Dan being the furthest north of the ten tribes, meaning they were taken. Satan always likes to hit that north side. It's his favorite spot. Why? It was the north side of the throne of God, and he wants it. So let's pick it up, if we may, in verse 17 of that eighth chapter, where our Father continues in both history in the future sense, prophecy concerning you today. Verse 17, that word of wisdom, and it reads, "For behold, I will send serpents, cockatrices among you, which will not be charmed, and they shall bite you, saith the Lord." Of course, anybody that's read the ninth chapter of Revelation understands this. That's the coming of the false Messiah, Apollyon in the Greek tongue and Abaddon in the Hebrew tongue. When God said they can sting as a serpent, as scorpions rather. Do you know why a scorpion particularly? And these serpents, naturally one of Satan's names. Do you know why? They have no stomach. So the scorpion must take its little pinchers and latch onto its victim and injects his digestive juices into the skin of the victim. In other words, turns him to mush inside. That's why God utilizes the analogy of the serpent, scorpion, and the cockatrice. Charm is lash. It means to hiss, to hiss. To charm, to whisper, it'll be all right, everything will be cool. Well, it's not. Not when it goes against God's word. Verse 18, "When I could comfort myself against sorrow," when I would comfort myself against sorrow, "my heart is faint in me." What they're saying here is, I'm past healing. It's too late. I'm so far gone, there's no help. Hey, it's never that way. Your Father is always there to help you. Do you know something? It's not over. It's just beginning. We have the eternity in front of us if you're obeying God. This is what irritates our Father, is for people to try to cut him out. This is why communism fell. This is why communism will never succeed. They try to cut God out. And without God, you're nothing. You're never going to get a blessing. You may get lucky every once in a while, but you're not going to have any blessings. You're not going to have an easy road. So don't ever take this defeatist attitude that you're past healing. 19, behold, the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people, because of them they dwell in a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Isn't that where the headquarters is? Is not her king in her? Question. Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images, rather than worshiping me, idol worship, and with strange vanities? Naturally, these are those that are exiled. What does he mean, far countries? He promised, I'm going to scatter the house of Israel all over the world. And so they did. The 10 tribes at the time of this writing have already gone north over the Caucasus Mountains, were later called Caucasians, scattered all over Europe, settled it there, many later coming to this nation. And as God promised, they would become as numerous as the stars of heaven and the sands of the sea. He said, I promised I would scatter them, and boy, have I done a good job. Verse 20. The harvest is past. The summer is ended, and we're not saved. This is the voice of the losers. You know, it is amazing to me how quickly people can forget. When God, I don't ever want you to forget the 7th chapter, the 23rd verse. When God brought our forefathers out of the land of Egypt, he said, I don't want your burnt offerings. You eat it yourself. What I want from you, remember verse 23, I'm going to read it to you again. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. God will see to it that it's well with you. You'll be blessed. You'll prosper. But you've got to do it his way. Not out here worshiping some stick that he created, some brick house that you called the temple, if he's not in it. Well, how do I know whether God's in a certain church or not? Well, whether they teach God's word or they are man's. You know, you get some reverend that'll read one verse from God's word and then blow hot air for an hour and maybe not even stick to the subject. Do you know how long it would take you to cover God's Word with one verse a week? About 700 years. I don't really know anybody that ever has any expectations of making it through at that rate. What's important and what a house of God is for is to teach God's Word, not man's. Because God is so easy to please. All you have to do is listen to Him instead of a bunch of squirrels. A bunch of half-bakes, maybe begging for money all the time. Listen to the Word of God. He said, I don't know why you go out there and worship idols instead of me, when I can make it real good for you. And the people say, the harvest is gone and we're left out. Well, it's never too late, as long as you're breathing air, my friend, to say, let's get our way back to God's way. Verse 21. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. God hurts when you hurt, beloved. I am black. In other words, this is the prophet speaking now, not God. I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me. In other words, I'm dressed as black as a widow that just lost her old man. I'm so sad it's just really gotten to me. Okay? And because the people hurt, I hurt. And you know something? If you are a prophet, as Jeremiah was, if you could see it was doing no good, it would hurt. Or even if you're a teacher and you're teaching God's Word, if you love the people, you're not going to spare the rod. You know, you're going to teach. Many people will say, well, you're just too hard. No, hey, if you love somebody and you see they're going to hell, try to stop it. They may not appreciate you, but if they appreciate the Word, that's what counts. That's what really counts. And Jeremiah says, I just feel so bad that they won't listen, that I've dressed myself in black. 22, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Don't they have a doctor there that could make a poultice out of the balm, put it on that old canker, and draw the poison out? why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? In other words, but what is the balm? Gilead was really known for its balm, and some would argue with that, but that's what it was known for. And that balm was very healing, but that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the Word of God. The Word of God that does heal. The Word of God that can change your life. The Word of God that can bless you. And quite frankly, the Word of God that can heal you if you have the faith. But what he's saying is they just kind of put a patch on the daughters of my people and tell them it's healed, and it's still under that Band-Aid. They're not fulfilling. They're not teaching the Word of God. There's no physician there. It is amazing how often God has utilized physicians. He used Luke, who was a medical doctor. And some people today will say, don't ever go to a doctor. Well, there's nothing better than a Christian-blessed doctor. Okay? And that's why God gave us intelligence, is to serve Him and to follow Him. Chapter 9, verse 1, the same thought continues. He said, they're just lacking my word, my healing hand. Chapter 9, verse 1. Oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes the fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. When the healing balm won't do it, they won't listen to my word, I could just cry my eyes out over them. Verse 2. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them. For they are all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. They're all idolaters. They're worshiping another god. Why? Hey, if you haven't been taught that the false Christ is coming first, you're going to worship the Antichrist. And that's idolatry to the highest degree. Jesus couldn't have made it any plainer in Mark 13 that the false Christ comes first. In Matthew 24, he let it be known that the first woman taken from the field is taken by Satan, the Antichrist, the cockatrice, the serpent. See that you're not in that crowd. A child can read God's word and understand it if you'll just let the subject and the object flow, his reasoning with you. He said, the prophet said, I'd just like to find me a place out in the woods I could go hide, to get away from this mess. And look around you today at the perversion in the movies, the world, everywhere. Away from God's Word. Hey, our Father's not happy about it. That day's coming. I don't know. Have you read about it? Are you ready? It's going to happen. Verse 3. And they bend their tongues like their bow for lies. But they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth. They don't want it. For they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord. They just go from bad to worse. That's what he says. And so it is. They mislead, misguide, misdirect. And that's what some one verse revolving rail will do for you, friend. You need to know all of God's Word with understanding. You know, our Father's word is very simple. It's about one man's family that would bring forth the Messiah, and how Messiah would teach others, all whomsoever would, to come to that throne for forgiveness and the blessings of God. Simply to love Him. That's what He wants, okay? But it continues going from bad to worse. Verse 4. Take ye heed every one of his neighbor, and trust ye not in any brother, for every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanders. Now, what we're coming to is when the false Christ returns, when he does come. He's been here before, but not in that role. But he is coming as the false Messiah. Why? He always wanted to be the Messiah. That's how he got cursed in the first place, was trying to take the mercy seat, which has a Messiah connotation, meaning Christ is supposed to sit there. he wanted to be God, as it's written in Ezekiel 28. And that was his downfall. And this word, supplanter, is, as all of you know, is Akab, which is Jacob. That when as it is written in the great word of God, that Jacob, and as a matter of fact, in Genesis chapter 25, verse 26, you're not going to have it, but I'm going to turn there and read it to you. It reads like this. This is where heel catcher came from, or supplanter, Jacob. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare him, when the twins were born. And that's what it's saying. But when the false Christ appears, your brother that feels it is Jesus is going to run to him saying, "My brother's a good old boy. He's been misled, and he thinks you're the false Messiah instead of the true Messiah. Will you please forgive him?" Do you know what Satan will say to him? "Well, go get him and bring him here." That's why mother delivers daughter up to death, and the father the son. Not an actual death of the flesh, but death is Satan. He is death. That is one of his names. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Christ came to this earth to destroy death, which is to say the devil. Okay? And that's the way they operate. That's the way the supplanter came into being. Don't let anyone supplant your truth for a lie. They'll like to lay it on to you. "Well, come on down and visit with us. We got a little one-verse revolving Rev, and he can sure blow off some hot air for an hour." "Well, what if he really teach you?" "Well, I don't know, but you feel good." "Well, if he doesn't teach you any of God's Word, you're in a heap of hurt, friend. Most of all, God's unhappy." Verse 5, "And they will deceive everyone his neighbor, and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies, and weary themselves to commit iniquity." In other words, they allow Kenites to do their translating for them, their little scribes, as it is written in 1 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 55. And they don't have any truth if you're not careful. Verse 6, "Thine habitation is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit they refuse to know me, saith the Lord." That through deceit, they don't know what the real word of God is. I don't know. How often do I warn you, you better study with a Christian translator? Because a non-Christian, it is impossible for them to translate with the doctrine of Christ. And I gave the example in the last lecture that a non-Christian will say, "Mary Magdalene was married to Jesus." They were married. That's not what the scriptures say to the Christian. It says Mary Magdalene was betrothed to Christ. We all are. We're waiting for that final wedding. It is a Christian figure of speech. So you want to be real, real careful. They don't know what God says, because they listen to the traditions of men that make void the word of God. Verse 7, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will melt them and try them. For how shall I do for the daughter of my people?" This melt them and try them means to assay them. Do you know how an assayer does? He melts them down, and the old slag goes flying off the side, and the real silver and gold runs to the middle. He said, "I'm just looking for people that's real gold, the real thing, that want my word." Verse 8, "Their tongue is as an arrow shot out because of wickedness. It speaketh deceit. One speaketh peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in heart he layeth in wait." That means he's going to murder him. He wants to do him in. Steal his property. Maybe even mess around, no telling, with his property, livestock, what have you. Move his property line. You know, that's the way. Do you know what brings all this about? We were warned about this in another place. and it's in good old Amos 8, that there is a famine. Now, some of you are going to say, well, there are hungry people in the land. Well, let's think about that. But Amos chapter 8, verse 11, listen to it carefully. This is the end times. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst of for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. What? The true word. What? Because one verse revolving revs. They never get to hear what God teaches chapter by chapter and verse by verse, laying out the subject. And you say, well, we've got hungry people. I've seen some of these lines of people on welfare. You know something? When I look at those lines, the people standing in those welfare lines, they're not getting too much exercise, friend. They don't look too hungry to me. Not when they'll tip out the scales that, you know, I don't think they're starving for food. But they sure are starving for the Word of God. I do not say that to insult anyone, but to drive that point home. God wants you. You're His child. Your family. And He wants you to hear what He has to say. He is so easy to please. And it is so easy to bring His blessings. And yet, people will pull away for some new ha-ha church. Yeah, let's laugh. It makes, you know, it's a church of laughter. And it's funny, all right. There's nothing funny about it. They'll laugh all the way to hell if they leave God out of it. That's what he's talking about here, friend. He's really reaching out to try to save souls. Let's go with the next verse back in the 9th chapter, 9:9. Shall I not visit them for these things? Question. Saith the Lord, shall not my soul, that's emphatic, this is Almighty God's soul talking here, shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? You have a nation that some of the so-called elected officials don't even try to protect the people by listening to what the enemy might have to say that's trying to destroy us. Hello, duh, where went sanity? Well, are you talking politics there? No, I'm talking about our wonderful people and what it takes to protect them. Verse 10, God doesn't like a nation that drops him off. Well, let's just decide here in the Supreme Court whether we should allow God's word to be said here in the national anthem even. Or how about the Pledge of Allegiance under God? We just maybe can't have that. Oh? You see what I'm saying? When a nation drifts without God, the same thing will happen to it that happened to the communist nations. God blesses whom He will. You better remember what your money says when you reach in your pocket and pull it out where it says, in God we trust, because you stop it and your nation won't be here. Verse 10. For the mountains will I take up a weeping and wailing, and for the habitations of the wilderness a lamentation, because they are burned up so that none can pass through them, neither can men hear the voice of the cattle. Both the fowl of the heavens and the beast are fled. They're gone. Hey, listen, when there is no pasture, and we're talking about pasture here where God's word is taught, because they're starving not for food, not for legume, but for the word of God. What he's saying is, you could travel through the whole area and you're not going to hear the truth of God's word. There's nothing there to feed on. That's what the famine is about. Verse 11, and I will make Jerusalem heaps and a den of dragons, the old dragon himself. And I will make the cities of Judah desolate without an inhabitant. That is to say, one that knows the truth. 12, who is the wise man that may understand this? Question. And who is he to whom the mouth of the Lord hath spoken, that he may declare it? For what the land perisheth and is burned up like a wilderness that none passeth through. Why is it? Well, it's real simple. I read it to you once before, 7:23. You've got to give God what He wants. But tell me how complicated this is, to have those pastures green up with truth flowing like water and honey over the buds of your mind. But this, he said, I don't want your burnt offerings in verse 22. Forget it. You eat it if you want it. I don't want it. He says, what I want, but this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. Do you want to be blessed? Do you want it to be well with you? Do you want to prosper? Hey, do you want to live eternally with the Father? Do you want to be able to help other people? Do you have compassion for other people, or do you not care about them? I can tell you pretty quick whether you're a real child of God or not by your answer to that question. Because you want to help your brothers. You want to help the people of the world to know the truth. And how easy, how simple it is to please God. Just be honest. Don't be a crook. Don't try to take shortcuts. Do it God's way. It's not difficult. And like I said, it irritates a lot of people when I say it, but a child that can read, that picks up the subject and the object, knows what God is talking about. But if you take a lot of the traditions of men and stick them in here that are meaningless, you're going to go astray. You're going to go off course. Who is the wise man that can understand this? The one that studies God's Word. The one that even tries. It's not some goody-goody two-shoes out here that's too good to even talk to anybody. It's somebody that's every day helping our people, hanging in there, doing what's right. Verse 13, the Lord said, because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, neither walked therein. Now remember, back in 7:23, he said, that's all that's required. You obey my voice and walk in my way, you'll be blessed. They haven't listened, and they haven't walked therein. Verse 14, but have walked after the imagination, or the Hebrew stubbornness, of their own heart. That's to say, their own mind. And after Balaam, which their fathers taught them, or told them to worship. You know, it is real sad that the scribes have kind of twisted the word in places. And as I showed you a couple of 3 days ago, it isn't difficult to understand why. When you go back to 1 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 55, and you understand simply to be safe, the Kenites were keeping books for Judah, the tribe that Jeremiah is writing to. If you got Kenites keeping your books, guess what's going to happen? Duh. And this was happening way back in the time of the Chronicles. So you got to be real careful. They insert little words of their own choosing and making. It doesn't necessarily change the Word of God, but it bends it to their favor. And Satan loves it. And it gives the one verse reverence a little firepower, they think. This is why you need to study God's Word in its completeness. This is why you need to grow familiar and to know and to understand that our Father loves you, and He doesn't like it when you destroy not only yourself, but your family by letting them go without the Word of God. Verse 15, therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, even this people, with wormwood, and give them water of gall to drink. He said, I'll let them do it. It's what God has said. You know what this gall is? It's poppy juice. You want to snort a little poppy juice? You heard of it? Anything? Been around you lately? druggies. You know what druggies are? They are the very word from the Greek is those that the wizards and the people that practice religion with the use of drugs. It is written sorcerers in the Greek the same, you might say, as a druggist. Okay? Where the word comes from. Only they use drugs to bring hallucinations into the minds of people. God is saying, I'm going to allow them to do it. Well, look around you, friend. Wormwood. What is wormwood? What is it in, I'll say, what is it in the Russian tongue? It's Chernobyl. What happened, this wormwood of the end times, Chernobyl? She blew, I don't know how many people died. And all around the world, the filth of the fallout from that, atomic energy hurt the world. You need to keep your eyes open, friend. There's a lot going on. I don't know. Have you read? Verse 16. I will scatter them also among the heathen, whom neither they nor their fathers have known. And I will send a sword after them till I have consumed them. In other words, I've done away with them from really where they are. Want to change them. This should remind you of what in the book of Ezekiel, when he said, what is out there? The whole valley is full of dry bones. They're dead. It simply meaning spiritually dead. Been misled. Been lied to. That's what this whole thing is about, is warning you about people trying to lie to you because they don't really know the truth. Hey, whatever it takes, friend. But it better take for you the Word of God, because that's where His blessings come from. Verse 17, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider ye. This means you stop and you think. Take inventory. Investigate. And call for the mourning women that they may come. And send for cunning women that they may come. In other words, this is call out those in black and let them cry and beat their breasts. But you better do better than that. You better hire professionals. For then they had professional women that you hired for funerals that cried and wailed and ran into the high heavens, okay? He said, it's going to be a sad day. It won't be for you. That sad day is for only those that will be deceived by the false Messiah. You know, it's real sad when it states very clearly in Ezekiel chapter 13, in verses 18 through 25, God says, I'm against those that teach my children to fly to save their souls. I'm against it. And yet, you find it in the majority of churches called the rapture doctrine. The word rapture is not even in the Bible. Have you ever seen it there? No, you haven't. But we will, at the seventh trump, gather back in the air. There is air in the Greek, and it means the breath of life body, the spiritual body. We'll be through with these chunks of flesh and have those spiritual bodies forever. No, it's good for you because you're fed. You're fed from God's Word. God will never let you go hungry if you just take a little time each day and stay in His Word. Don't miss the next lecture. All right, bless your heart. You listen in a moment, won't you please? The book of James. James is a book that I know you'll enjoy because it is written, when you rightly divide it, to those that are scattered abroad. That's to say the 12 tribes, the 10 tribes scattered abroad, being very specific in your freedom of Christianity, the repentance, giving much personal instruction as far as controlling our thoughts and finding peace, and giving us those parameters wherein Christianity, defining those things that come from the Word of God. Example, that bitter and sweet water cannot come from the same spring. Well, from God's Word, you should not have both either.
the practice of healing brought forth in this book of James. I know you're going to like it. James, that great book of instruction.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico, throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, and all over Canada. If the Spirit moves and you have a question, you share it. Once you do that, please never ask a question pertaining to a certain individual, revolving rev, denomination, church, or organization. Let's don't judge people. Our Father does a real good job of that already, and in His teaching. All you have to do is cover that word and let the chips fall wherever they may. Never, never apologize for God's Word. Our Father is stern because He loves His children. And He knows they need that word of correction at times to keep the evilness away from the family. That's the way it goes. Don't ever forget that. Those of you that listen by shortwave around the world at this time, it's always a pleasure hearing from you. And your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. You got a prayer request, you can do away with the number and the address. Why? God knows what you're thinking. You know, in the Greek, it's real specific. It's kardionor. He knows your heart. He knows your mind. He knows what you're thinking. And do you know something? He may not love what you're doing, but He loves you. So it's real simple to please Him. Chapter 7, verse 23 of the great book of Jeremiah. Listen to my voice. Be my people and let me be your God, and it's going to be well with you. I'll see to it. And He sure will. Father, around the globe, we commonly ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father, touch in Yeshua's precious name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, and questions we go. Mary from Pennsylvania, Ezekiel chapter 16, would you please explain? Ezekiel chapter 16 is one of the most beautiful chapters in God's Word as far as God's most favorite place in the entire universe. And He does it in such a way that even we, in flesh bodies, can understand what He was talking about. Because He starts out, He said, you were born to poor little old girl, a baby girl, and you had an unclean birth. You weren't even swaddled. Nobody took care of you. And then I watched as you came to maturity, and I could see you mature into a fair young woman. I fell in love with you. I took you to wife. I placed my skirt over you. And that's marriage in the Hebrew. Okay. That is God making an eternal covenant with Jerusalem. Naturally, in the beginning, it was called Jebus because the Jebusites founded it. And it was filthy. Okay. I mean, it was... you don't have much of I would be hard pressed to find an abomination that would compare with Jebus, that unclean birth of the city of Jerusalem. But then along came David, and he took it and he renamed her, and he called her Yerushalayim, the city of peace. And God said, I make an eternal covenant with you. In other words, that's where His kingdom, even in heaven, is going to be. And it's made very clear in Revelation chapter 21. So, that's Ezekiel chapter 16. It's God telling you, that's my favorite place in the world and the universe. That's where I'm going to be forever and ever and ever. Of course, there'll be a few changes, as you can read and note, take note of in Revelation 21. Same place, though. Calvin from Arkansas. Your ministry has changed my life. Thank you and God bless. You want to know, this is Shepherd's Chapel. The Shepherd, okay, is head of this ministry, and He does change your life, and I'm so glad of it. Thank you. Thank you for studying His Word. That's fantastic, okay? Tony from Tennessee, I have a question. I've been trying to teach my 7-year-old daughter as much as I can about God and our Savior Jesus. She knows first above all that Satan comes first, pretending to be Christ. We do not attend local church for these reasons. I sat in on her classes at different churches, and all they did was play or color.
it's against what God would want me to do to is it against what God would want me to do to teach her what I learned from your Bible study? Question. I truly understand my studies now at 49. I never got it at any churches. This is very important to me to know if I am okay with God doing it this way. Please give me your input. I trust you for the truth. How could you go wrong teaching God's Word? Naturally, to a 7-year-old, you're going to teach it on a level that they can understand it. Example, what happened in the garden. Don't lie to them, as some people do. That's not right, and it's not fair. And as you've noticed, I receive a tremendous amount of questions from 6- and 7-year-olds. And some people marvel at the intelligence of our young people. But God's Word, they understand God's Word. Don't ever think that our young are not intelligent. They are very intelligent, especially when they hear the truth. What you have to do is, we're in this world for a purpose. As Jesus would say in St. John chapter 17, Father, don't take them out of this world, because they're going to reach other people that are going to see through them, and they're going to lead the people, but bless them. So teach them not only what God has to say, but what the traditions of men are doing to people, so they can understand, and so that they can protect their credibility, and other children will be drawn to them to know that same truth, okay? Make sure the child doesn't upset. You wouldn't be invited to someone's house and they have a beautiful carpet in their living room and they pass around some peanut butter and crackers and you say, ooh, I just can't stand peanut butter crackers, and throw it on the carpet and rub it in with your foot. Now, that's not the way to win friends and influence people. Be gentle. Teach them how not to offend, but to hold the truth. There's a difference. Think about that. Lois from Louisiana. When my daughter was a little girl of 7 years old, she told me she saw Jesus in her bedroom and he had rotten teeth. He grinned at her and looked evil. She was terrified and hated to go to church or anything to do with Jesus since then. During this time, she saw her father molest her 13-year-old sister and impregnate her. I'm going to read the rest of this real quickly. I would assume that your 7-year-old saw and heard the coaching of the stepfather on the 13-year-old and the word father, and it's okay, and blah blah blah, what who knows what would be said. And she had to take it as a point of authority that it wasn't Jesus she saw, it was her stepfather. And the wicked, in other words, the spirit let her see the wickedness of the thing he was doing, and that would be terrifying to a 7-year-old. It certainly would. We'll all be behind you in prayer. I'm a realist, and the best way is to face reality, and when there's something broke, fix it. Okay? Beth from Minnesota. I would like to know how you feel about hypnosis. Is it safe to use for weight loss? Is it messing around with the supernatural so a Christian's stay away from this? Answer sincerely, Beth. Beth from Minnesota. Well, listen, the hypnosis is only self-hypnosis. I would prefer to even call it the power of positive thinking. In other words, you have within your mind a special room that if you are tempted too much for something, you can step into that room of your mind and overcome. It gives you willpower. And God can help you in this. It's not really to be hypnotized in an evil way, such as that, but it's kind of to be self-hypnotized into giving you more willpower and to take charge.
In other words, you want to remember you have two bodies. You have a flesh body, and within this flesh body you have a spiritual body. And always let the spiritual body rule and tell the flesh to cool it. Okay? I mean, take charge. And that's the way you find happiness in this life. But no, I see nothing wrong with self-hypnosis, which to me is simply the power of positive thinking in God's strengthening way, prayer and so forth. Barbara, Richard and Barbara from Florida. I still have a couple of questions. Have been getting my feet set firmly on the path to our Father through your teachings, which I thank God for daily. Still, I have a couple of questions. Number one, my wife says I shouldn't be eating pork as it's prescribed by the food laws in the Bible, and I don't think these laws apply into today's world. What is your understanding of it? Well, we still got the same bodies. And Leviticus chapter 11 says, of the swine ye shall not eat. But God has a reason. You don't ever sell God short. He knows what he's talking about. He created the swine, but he also created these bodies. The swine does not have sweat glands. They were created by Almighty God as disposals of garbage, okay, on the earth. And what all they take in, that poison is stored in their fat. Okay, they have no way to get rid of it, okay, other than what kidneys and so forth, but it's stored in the fat. And it will, there's a little trachea that hides out in among all this, you know, and I think it's a great cause of arthritis. I'm not a physician, but I think it brings on many things. And many are going to say, well, you haven't read Acts chapter 10. Well, I've read it in more languages probably than some. Peter never partook of the unclean animals. God took them back up. What it meant is it was all right for a Gentile to be saved by Christ, and he said, don't call people common. But then many people will say, well, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4, it says, don't let man judge your feet, that every animal God created was good. Well, it is. The swine is good. It's to keep disease off the earth and the farm. But it's still likewise. He said, don't let them judge you. Go back to verse 3 and listen to God. Listen to what God says. He said, don't let any man judge you in receiving what God created to be received. Don't receive something God didn't create to be received. It will make you sick. Now, that's not a sin to hell. That's just a sin to your health, okay? So, hey, you're on your own, all right? But I like to break it down to this. Don't eat scavengers. Any animal that is a scavenger, I mean, like if it's even fish, just right down on the bottom and it's gobbling up all that junk. The droppings of other fish and dead stuff. I mean, it's gobbling it up right from the bottom, and it's called a scavenger. That's why you want to go by God's intelligence, because one of the fish that he tells you you can eat is not a scavenger. Okay, so eat only good meat, and not scavengers. And my wife worries because she has to take a lot of medicine that her doctor has prescribed. Well, Luke was a medical doctor, okay? And if he's a good doctor and the medicine is helping her, that's fantastic. God gave us minds and intelligence. And I don't care what people say, there are a lot of good Christian doctors that even pray before surgery and other things. And I know this firsthand, okay? And you just watch, be careful, and she's in good shape. Tell her not to worry. God's blessing her. Albert, because you know what? Because she's got you going, okay? And you're hunting and you're looking and you're getting there. I'm proud of you. You hang tough. Albert from Washington, is there any scripture that says God turned his face on our Lord and Savior while he was on the cross? I've tried to I'm tired of hearing this from people when I know that God became man. Well, this is where it comes from, is because their lack of intelligence in God's Word, and I'm not criticizing them. But when Christ spoke those words on the cross, it was, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. It really translates, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But do you know what Christ was quoting? He was teaching. He was quoting Bible. That is Psalms 22. Those are David's words, not Christ. And then it goes on in that Psalms 22 and speaks of how the enemy is around him, and even out of the mouth of Caiaphas, his words are written 1,000 years before it happened. Christ wanted you to know. And then it says, they got me and my arms are pulled from socket. He was nailed to the cross. That was written in Psalms 22. All he was doing is say, go back to Psalms 22 and read of what's happening before you at this time. But I'm doing this for you. Okay? God never, never, never forsook Christ. When Christ went into the garden and prayed, could this cup pass? It wasn't his cup. It was the cup he's going to have to pour out on the earth very soon. And that's the cup of God's wrath. And God would not prevent it. It's coming. But you don't have to worry about it. You know why? God's not angry at you. He loves you. Gene from Tennessee. I watch you every morning and I am so happy that I discovered your program. Well, great. We're glad you did too. Recently, you made the statement that we are born into the life we deserve. I've never heard that before. Would you explain? Because I know my Father. I know He's fair and that He's good. The Kenites deserve what they got because they followed Satan. And they considered themselves to be His children, so they were born Kenites. But do you know what God did? He arranged it so that even they, if they accept whomsoever will, if they accept Christ as their Savior, they're no longer children of the devil or tares or of the enemy. They're children of God. Because God paid the price on the cross that whomsoever will, anybody, everybody, if they believe, that they are forgiven. But by that I mean God is always fair. He'll put you in where you deserve. Example, Jacob and Esau that I mentioned in today's lecture, the supplanter, Jacob, that he said, God says in Romans chapter 9, and also in Malachi, Old Testament, chapter 1. He said, you know what? He said, when they were still in their mother's womb, Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. So naturally, Esau was born where he deserved to be. He was supplanted coming out the gate. Okay, but he didn't care about God. He didn't care about his heritage. And he sold it, in reality, for a bowl of mush. Okay? I mean, he was the firstborn. He sold it. So God allowed them to be where they are and where they belong, but he had his way to, he had the means to work himself out of it. And naturally, I'm not going to judge him. I don't know but that he did. He had a long ways to go, because when he began to pray that his birthright be brought back, he didn't pray to God. He prayed to his daddy, earthly daddy, to change it back. He didn't pray to God. Okay, Sandra from Georgia. Question, would you please explain to me how you teach your children in the congregation about Passover and Easter, and how do you explain about no hunting eggs? Do you provide some kind of play day for them or anything at all? I would like to know how to explain it to a child that is expecting to hunt eggs and dress up for the holidays like all the other children. There's nothing, you know, I've been eating boiled eggs all my life. And I don't know that it's any sin. I hope it's not a sin to eat boiled eggs. I like boiled eggs, okay? Boiled eggs, all right? And but teach them the truth, okay? That how they came to be in the Bible, those were from Ishtar. And I want you to do it yourself. Easter is only mentioned in the Bible, King James, one time, the book of Acts. You take your Strong's Concordance and look, it's not even mentioned once in the manuscripts. That's where the King James came from. The word in the manuscripts that they translated Ishtar is Pasol, which is Passover. And as you know, Christ became our Passover. Ishtar, you know, preachers have a way of doing this. Ishtar was a pagan holiday where they roll these eggs of fertility, symbolic of fertility. And have you heard about rabbits? How quick they are, quick like a bunny, and how fast they multiply? Those were fertility rites by paganism. And it was brought into the church. Tell them the truth. But then let them know, and don't be insulting to other children. And you have to be the judge as to whether you allow them, but make sure they know the truth, that it's not part of Christianity. And certainly it's not ordered by Almighty God. I do not believe in deceiving children. I believe in keeping everything on their level. And only a parent has the right and the knowledge to gauge that. And you do a good job. I'm out of time. Hey, you know what? I love you all a lot because you enjoy studying Father's Word chapter by chapter and verse by verse. But most of all, God loves you for it. You make His day when you do that. And when you make His day, He's going to make yours. He sure is. Why? He loves you. We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Won't you do that? But bless God, He will always bless you. You know what's most important for you to do, though? I'm going to tell you. You stay in His Word. Every day in His Word is a good day, even with trouble. You know why? Because Jesus, Yeshua, He is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645. 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you. The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast?